The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Coyote Teodora features xenophobia and disturbing imagery. Please exercise caution for children under 13. Pablo was exhausted, but that was nothing new. Ever since he sold his farm to the local parish, his work days had gotten longer. He had once envisioned an exciting, promising life in the new world, and it was, until he got married. Teodora, his Maya bride, was an amazing woman. She was beautiful, strong-willed, and proud. He had fallen hard for her, but her refusal to convert to Catholicism cost Pablo his good standing with his neighbors. To make matters worse, the church didn't take kindly to insubordination. They refused to deal with the farmer as long as he was married to the native woman. The lack of income destroyed Pablo. With no other option, he sold his land to the church for a fraction of its value. The new priest brought him on to work around the parsonage, but it wasn't much more than slave labor. He suspected that being a native Spaniard was the only thing that actually kept him and his wife alive. As Pablo approached his house, a long-forgotten smell wafted from his kitchen. His mouth salivated. It was roasted pig. His eyes lit up. They hadn't eaten anything but beans and bread in weeks. Pablo took off for his front door. Pablo couldn't believe it. It wasn't just a pig. There was chicken, fresh bread, bananas, corn, more food than he had ever seen in his kitchen. Teodora moved swiftly from dish to dish, blessing the feast with a Mayan prayer. Pablo stammered as he tried to find the words, Where did this come from? Teodora shrugged, her eyes turned toward the ground.
Neighbors.
But their neighbors hated them, and his wife hated his neighbors. It didn't make any sense to Pablo. The Maya and the Spanish only interacted when they were trying to kill each other. Either Pablo's greatest hope was coming true, that he was going to be able to live peacefully between the Spanish and the Maya, or his wife was lying to him. Pablo sat down, a full plate in front of him. His stomach rumbled, but the words of his old priest bubbled up from the recesses of his mind.
You cannot trust a Maya.
I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. Today, we're telling the tale of the Coyote Teodora, about a farmer who discovers that his bride is more than just a housewife. Coming up next, we explore the complicated history of Central American folktales. The story of the Coyote Teodora originated in Honduras during the mid-19th century when a folktale boom spread across Europe. The stories of indigenous peoples in Central America were being ignored. While the rituals, traditions, and legends of Central American people have been recorded since the 16th century, it wasn't until the mid-20th century that an earnest scholarly effort brought the folktales of the former Spanish colonies to light. The tales of the region played an important role in the death rituals of many Latin American people. After a member of the community died, a wake would be held. Lasting anywhere from one night to 9 days, the body was typically laid out in a home and surrounded by family and friends. Mourners participated in games, riddles, and storytelling, all in hopes of keeping everyone entertained and present. The Coyote Teodora was one of these wake tales. The tribes of this region believed in shape-shifting witches called Nahuals, similar to the skinwalkers of the Navajo. These were powerful witches within the community who had the ability to turn into their chosen animal. Some of their forms were owls, lions, and coyotes. To the Maya and other Mesoamerican peoples, the Naguals weren't always malevolent, but to the Catholic Church occupying the region, the Naguals were cohorts of the devil himself. Pablo sat at his kitchen table, gorging himself. It was the best meal he had eaten since coming to the New World. The taste of the roasted pig reminded him of his childhood, of warm summer evenings on his farm in Valencia. It felt like a lifetime ago, but if he closed his eyes, he could still see the Spanish homestead where he spent his youth. He looked up from his plate. His wife, Teodora, wasn't eating. She sat and watched her husband. He swallowed his mouthful of pork.
"Everything is so wonderful. You should enjoy it after all your hard work."
Teodora shook her head.
"I'm too exhausted to eat. My joy is seeing you happy."
She reached out and patted her husband's hand. Pablo's mind filled with the stories of the old Maya women poisoning the missionaries' meals. He hated himself for even entertaining the thought. Pablo pulled his hand away and wiped his mouth.
"Since when have our neighbors wanted to do anything nice for us?"
Teodora said nothing. She took his plate and stood up from the table to refill it with corn and pork, not bothering to look at him while she spoke.
"Maybe that priest of yours had a talk with them. After 5 years, I would hope they know I'm not going to curse them or drink their blood."
Teodora turned with the plate and gave her husband a playful wink. The church had been quick to label any disruptive Maya who held on to his or her religion as a witch, a fate that hadn't escaped Teodora. It had become something of a joke between Pablo and his wife. Her sense of humor was one of her best qualities. Teodora sat the full plate in front of Pablo and rubbed her hand across his shoulders.
"They said the food was a gift to honor my sister's passing. Progress is slow, but a community mourning together is a big step for us. We might end up being respectable people at the end of this. I know how important that is for you."
She leaned down and kissed her husband. Pablo smiled. He longed to be back in the good graces of his fellow Spaniards and the church. He missed having a proper mass. Saying his prayers silently at home wasn't nearly as fulfilling. The new priest, Father Carlo, had been pushing the community in a new direction. He had given Pablo a job, and he took a much more delicate approach toward missionary work. Whereas his predecessor favored threats and violence, Carlo offered peaches and oranges to the young Maya children. Pablo felt a weight lift from his shoulders. He dug into his second plate with even more zeal than the first. He couldn't wait to thank his new boss for being so thoughtful and kind. After dinner, Pablo could hardly move. It was a sensation he had long forgotten, the feeling of being full. He barely had enough energy to splash some water on his face and say his nightly prayers. He didn't even bother to wait for Teodora before passing out in his bed, bloated and happy. Pablo's eyes crept open as he shivered in bed. He was suddenly, inexplicably, cold. He reached down and pulled the covers tight against his chin, but it didn't do much to warm him. The wind cut him to the bone, flowing from the bedroom window. Teodora must have forgotten to close it before bed, he thought in his half-asleep haze. Pablo stumbled out of bed and shuffled to the window. He eased the shutters closed, careful not to wake his wife. The distant howl of a coyote sent a chill down his spine. He quickly latched the shutter, not wanting to risk one of them sneaking into his bedroom. Pablo turned to go back to bed. He froze, not from the blowing wind, but from shock. Teodora wasn't in their bed. Suddenly, wide awake, Pablo searched the house. He called out into the darkness,
"Teodora, my love?"
But there was no answer. She was gone.
Dread flooded his mind as he ran for the front door. He threw it open and shouted her name out into the night. His body shook as he scanned the fields around their house, the full moon providing plenty of light, but everything was eerily still. Pablo turned and ran back into the house to get dressed. He had to find his wife. He pushed open the bedroom door and gasped. Teodora sat up in bed, surprised to see her husband so worried. He stared at his wife, unsure if he was losing his mind. Pablo sat by her side and wrapped her in a tight hug. "Where were you? Didn't you hear me calling your name?" Teodora looked confused. She shook her head and placed her hand on his cheek.
"I'm sorry, love. I had to use the outhouse. I must not have heard you over the wind."
Pablo nodded as he caught his breath and laid back down in bed, relieved that she was fine. That was too much excitement for the middle of the night. He closed his eyes and pulled the blanket up to his chin. As he drifted off to sleep, he heard the shutters softly clatter and felt a light breeze blow across his face. The next day, Pablo hacked away at a stump in the priest's front yard. His muscles ached, and the blisters on his hands were starting to split. He was thankful that he'd gotten such a good meal the night before. The extra nutrition helped make up for his lack of sleep. After hours chopping it into smaller pieces, the stump wouldn't budge. Pablo could hear Father Carlo heading toward him. The priest called out as he approached,
"Take a break, my son."
Pablo leaned against the axe and wiped his brow. He turned to see the rail-thin priest hold out a canteen. Pablo eagerly reached out his hand.
"Thank you, Father, and thank you for the food last night. The last priest was more likely to be the cause of Amaya's death than to mourn one."
The priest stared back at Pablo blankly. His eyes were kind, but he was clearly confused. Father Carlo shook his head.
"I know my predecessor had a nasty reputation. When he vanished, it didn't surprise me at all. But I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about."
Pablo lowered his voice. "The food for Teodora's sister's passing? I assumed you had something to do with it." Father Carlo recoiled. He looked offended that Pablo would even suggest such a thing. The priest spoke barely above a whisper.
"The church explicitly forbade me from helping out that witch of yours. I'm lucky that no one has asked about me employing you."
The priest snatched his canteen out of Pablo's hands and hurried back into the parsonage. Doubt crept into Pablo's mind, along with that old warning,
"You cannot trust Amaya."
The neighbors wouldn't have done that without the blessing of the church, but the food had to come from somewhere. Pablo picked up his axe and went back to work on the stump, his mind now working as hard as his body. Pablo limped back home that night. It took him all day to get that stump out of the ground. Every muscle in his back pulsed in agony. He hoped that they had some bread left over from the previous night. Pablo pushed open the door. His jaw dropped. Just like the day before, his kitchen was filled with food. Teodora stood behind his chair at the table, finishing her blessing of the meal. She opened her eyes and pulled out a chair.
"Come, my love, sit down."
Stunned, Pablo sat down as Teodora brought him over a plate overflowing with food. Once again, she wasn't eating, only serving her husband. Pablo pushed the plate away.
"This isn't from our neighbors. Nothing has changed. Father Carlo thinks you're a witch, just like the last priest."
Teodora spat on the ground.
"That kind of talk cost the last priest his life."
Pablo stared at his wife, her face flushed with anger. No one had ever implied that the former priest had been murdered. Slowly, she cracked a smile.
"Yes, your witch of a wife conjured up all this food. Taste it. Tell me how witchy it tastes."
Teodora nudged her husband to have a bite. He stabbed a piece of chicken with his fork. It was delicious. Teodora stroked her husband's hair.
Kindness does not go unnoticed. They see that he has given you work. They are merely following his leadership.
But after seeing how Father Carlo reacted earlier, Pablo wasn't so sure. He couldn't finish his plate tonight. Despite the food being just as good as the night before, something wasn't sitting right. That night, despite being exhausted, Pablo's mind raced. Half awake and half asleep, he tossed and turned. He just couldn't turn off his brain. His wife wasn't being honest with him. He couldn't prove it, but he knew it. He felt Teodora quietly slide out of bed.
"She thinks I'm asleep."
He hated to not trust his wife, but there was no harm in confirming she was just going to the outhouse. Pablo rolled over onto his side and peeked through one eye to spy on his wife. But Teodora wasn't standing in the middle of their bedroom. His wife was nowhere to be seen. Crouched in her place was a snarling beast. Coming up, Pablo finds out the truth about the creature.
Hi, listeners. To celebrate our favorite month, Parcast Network is releasing a slate of new shows leaning into all things spooky and spine-tingling. And now we're bringing you an original series called Superstitions, featuring the origins and impacts of our most unusual beliefs and the stories of those who dare to defy them. Every week on Superstitions, hear a new drama that illustrates the eeriness and unlocks the mysteries of humanity's strangest codes of conduct. Like holding your breath while passing a cemetery so you don't wake the dead and make them jealous, or carrying the foot of an animal known to have an evil eye, or using iron to keep away the devil. They may seem mystical or even completely illogical, but one thing is certain. You ignore them at your own risk. You can find and follow Superstitions free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. To hear more Parcast shows, search Parcast Network in Spotify's search bar and find a growing slate of spooky October programming to enjoy.
Now, back to the story. Pablo stared in horror at the huge, hairy beast standing in his bedroom. He had expected to see his wife, but she was nowhere to be found. Pablo wanted to scream, but couldn't. All he could do was stare at the monster in the middle of his bedroom. The creature rose from the floor on two legs. It was nearly 7 feet tall, covered in matted gray fur, with a long face and pointed ears.
"This must be a nightmare," he thought.
He tried in vain to wake himself up. The monster turned its head toward the window and howled. It was the same howl he'd heard the night before. Whatever this thing was that stood in his bedroom looked and sounded like a coyote, but it walked on two legs. The monster leapt through the window and vanished into the night. Pablo rolled onto his back, his eyes squeezed shut.
"It's all this smoked meat. It's giving you nightmares. Or she's a witch."
The old accusation swirled in the back of Pablo's mind. He took a few deep, long breaths in and out.
"I love my wife. I trust my wife."
He knew better than to think she practiced black magic. That was the church talking. His heart slowed down and he drifted off to sleep. Teodora was in the outhouse. That had to be it. The coyote monster and inexplicable meals faded from his mind. The warmth of the morning sun was enough to stir Pablo from his deep slumber. He yawned and stretched, thankful that he was able to get some sleep after such a strange dream. He opened his eyes and rolled onto his side. Teodora was already awake, watching her husband sleep. She ran her hand through his hair and smiled.
Pablo leaned over and kissed his wife. I had the strangest dream. There was a monster in the bedroom. It looked like some sort of coyote man.
Teodora laughed and shook her head. That wasn't a dream. That was me.
Pablo's heart jumped in his throat. His wife laughed.
Teodora let a long pause linger in the air as sweat beaded on Pablo's brow. She stifled her laughter. I put on my coyote shawl to go to the outhouse. It's cold at night.
Teodora kissed her husband's cheek and hopped out of bed. Pablo's eyes didn't follow her. Instead, they stayed locked on the spot in the middle of the floor. He closed his eyes, mentally recreating what he saw.
I was half asleep. The moonlight made some weird shadows. She looked taller because I was lying down.
Pablo chuckled to himself. Of course his wife wasn't a witch or a coyote monster. She was the woman he loved, nothing more or less. Pablo got up and walked through the kitchen, still full from the night before, a reminder to him that his little family was getting back into the good graces of Spanish society. It felt good. Pablo opened the door, his eye catching a flash of color. Beside the leftover cornbread sat a bowl of fresh oranges. They didn't have oranges in the kitchen yesterday. He looked back to his wife. Pablo felt a pit in his stomach. Teodora was lying to him, but not about being a witch. The truth was much more pedestrian. She wasn't putting on the shawl and sneaking out because she was a witch. She was doing it because she was a thief. The food did come from his neighbors, just not voluntarily. He and Teodora were still outcasts. Pablo spent all day at work, mindlessly hoeing rows for the fall crops. He didn't know what to do. On one hand, the Spaniards already hated his Maya bride. If she was caught stealing, they would hang her without question. On the other, the community had already turned their backs on them. It was the church and its congregation that forced Pablo and Teodora into poverty. Maybe stealing wasn't the worst thing she could be doing. Father Carlo called out to Pablo as he walked toward him.
Pablo, when you're done, can you go repair the chicken coop? The coyotes have gotten into it again.
The priest handed Pablo a canteen of water. Pablo took a swig and handed it back. The priest shook his head, seemingly lost in his thoughts.
We went years without ever seeing a coyote, but now the whole congregation is having this problem. Be thankful you don't have any more livestock. They're eating everything, and they're particularly vicious.
Pablo swallowed hard and turned his back to the priest. If Teodora was sneaking out and stealing from their neighbors, she wasn't prepared to deal with these coyotes. They seemed hungry and desperate. She wasn't safe. Pablo quickly agreed and hurried over toward the other side of the parsonage. After Pablo patched the chicken coop, he snuck around to the church's garden. He grabbed handfuls of coffee and cacao beans and stuck them into his pockets. He was going to stay awake tonight and follow his wife when she went to the outhouse. That night, Pablo was once again greeted by his smiling wife with a kitchen full of food. This time, he didn't question where it came from. He didn't want to seem too nosy. Better to let Teodora think that he had accepted her claim that it was all donated from the neighbors. Teodora walked into the bedroom and climbed into bed. Pablo quickly swallowed his mouthful of beans before his wife kissed him goodnight. He laid down on his back and closed his eyes. He didn't move an inch. Tonight, Pablo was going to get to the bottom of this mystery. Pablo felt the bed shift underneath him. Teodora was getting up. Unlike last night, this time he was wide awake. Pablo rolled over onto his side, careful to look as natural as possible.
he cracked one eye open and watched as his wife slipped out of her nightgown. She opened the shutters, letting the moonlight flood into the bedroom. The wind rushed through the room, chilling Pablo to the bone, but he didn't shiver. He held himself completely still. Teodora tiptoed across the room and picked up her coyote skin shawl. She draped it across her shoulders and pulled the cowl up, the coyote's snout hanging over her face. Her body began to shake, her hands and legs twisting and contorting in every direction. Both of Pablo's eyes were open now, but he still wasn't moving. Teodora's limbs stretched out as the shawl fused to her body. Hair sprung out of her back. Her nose and mouth became one, fusing into a full snout jutting out from her face. Pablo burrowed his face into the pillow to keep from screaming in terror. It wasn't a nightmare. This was real. His wife was the witch his church had always claimed her to be. Pablo was wide awake and living his worst nightmare. You cannot trust a Maya. The coyote Teodora howled toward the moon and leapt out the window. He could hear her running into the night. In a flash, Pablo jumped out of bed. He pulled on his pants and ran out after his wife. If she got caught, they'd kill her. He knew they'd come for him next. She was still his Teodora, the love of his life. Witch or not, he had to protect her. Pablo ran through the night, tracking his wife by the sounds of her howls. It didn't take long for him to catch up with her at their neighbor's house. He watched from the shadows as his wife tore through the door of the chicken coop with her bare hands. Her strength was incredible. She snatched up a sleeping rooster and swallowed it whole. Pablo followed her as she went house to house, breaking into barns and kitchens. Horrified, he watched as his wife captured pigs, scooped up produce, stole whole bushels of corn, swallowing everything. What she didn't eat whole, she threw into a burlap sack. His wife wasn't completely lying. The meals were coming from his neighbors. She hit every last house in the village before turning back. Suddenly, panic shot through Pablo. She's heading home. Running as fast as he could, Pablo took off in a sprint for their house. He knew he could reason with the human Teodora, but the coyote Teodora might tear him into pieces without a second thought. Pablo cut through the brush and the hillsides, thorns and branches digging into his body. He pushed his pain and exhaustion from his mind. Getting poked with sticks was better than getting torn apart by a coyote. He couldn't see Teodora, but could hear her. It was going to be close. His house was in sight, and so was Teodora. She was heading straight for their front door. Pablo's only chance was to make it to the bedroom window. He dove through the open shutters, hitting the ground with a hard thud. Pablo didn't bother taking off his pants. He didn't have time. He jumped straight into bed, jerking the covers up to his neck. It wasn't a moment too soon. The bedroom door opened, and Teodora, in her human form, stepped in. She was naked, save for the coyote shawl hanging from her shoulders. She quietly climbed into bed next to him. Pablo stared at the ceiling. He had his answer. He knew where his wife went at night, and it was more terrifying than he could have possibly imagined. Pablo didn't sleep a wink. The next morning, he didn't wake Teodora when he got up. He crept through their kitchen. It was full of all the things he had watched the coyote Teodora steal the night before. Pablo was starving, but he couldn't eat, not when he knew where the food came from. In a stupor, Pablo stumbled down the road toward the parsonage. Pablo knocked on Father Carlo's door. He never bothered the priest, but today was different. Father Carlo opened the door.
Pablo didn't hide his troubled expression. The priest, concerned, reached out and hugged Pablo.
"What's happened?"
Pablo's voice was filled with worry.
"Father, you were right. I shouldn't have doubted the church. I saw my wife transform into a coyote. She's a witch."
Father Carlo quickly marked himself with a sign of the cross, his eyes wide with fear.
"That's no witch, my son. That's a Nagual. Your wife is in Congress with the devil."
Coming up, Pablo confronts the coyote, Teodora. Now, back to the story. Father Carlo shook with fear as he stood in front of Pablo, clutching his cross. The past couple of days had been a blur for Pablo, but even after watching his wife transform into a coyote before his very eyes, he couldn't believe what the priest was saying, that she had made a pact with the devil. Pablo shook his head.
"No, she can't be."
Father Carlo looked back at Pablo with pity. He reached out and took Pablo's hand.
"You have made the right decision to come to me. She's a shapeshifter, a Nagual, the most powerful of all the Maya. They are thieves. They practice necromancy and cannibalism."
Pablo's whole body began shaking, tears in his eyes.
"She's been stealing, Father. It's her that's killed the livestock. Please help me."
Father Carlo cradled Pablo's face in his hands.
"You are not safe, my son. I can't watch a good man like you get led down this path."
Father Carlo turned from Pablo and waved for him to follow. Pablo followed Carlo through the parsonage, out the back, and toward the chapel. There, tucked away in a back room covered in dust, sat a trunk. It was from the old world. It didn't look like it had been touched since it came off the boat. The priest said a quick prayer and opened the chest. He pulled out a long, white rope and a bottle of holy water. Father Carlo handed the items to Pablo.
"This is your only chance to save your wife. Wait until she changes again. When she has turned all the way back from her coyote form, throw the holy water on her face, and then hit her with the rope of Saint Francis 3 times. She won't be able to change back into the creature."
Horrified, Pablo tried to hand the items back to the priest. He shook his head.
"I love my wife. I'm not going to beat her. Aren't we Catholics better than that?"
Father Carlo squeezed Pablo's hand around the rope.
"Catholic values are reserved for Catholics. If you want to save her, you must do this. Don't hesitate. Once the witch sees what you're doing, she will try and kill you. It's you or her. Go, now."
Pablo took the rope and the holy water and walked through the vestibule alone. He prayed that there was some other way. He took the road back home, clutching the items tightly in his hand. Even if his wife was a Nagual, she was still his Teodora, his beautiful, funny, loving bride. He had given up everything, his farm, his standing in the community, his church, just to be with her. But he had seen the monster she could become. He had seen her swallow animals whole and tear doors off their hinges with one swing. She was more than just his wife. His home was in sight. Pablo was going to have to make up his mind, and fast. He tucked the rope and the water into his pack and walked toward the front door. He could smell the food cooking as he approached, but his mouth didn't water this time. Pablo braced himself as he opened the door. Teodora turned and smiled at him.
"My love, you're home early. I'm not even done cooking. I've not even said the blessing yet."
She was as radiant as ever. Pablo couldn't look at her. He sat down at the table and took a deep breath. He said simply,
"I saw you."
Slowly, Teodora raised her eyes to her husband. The two stared at each other, neither one breaking eye contact. Teodora's voice was flat when she responded,
"You saw me do what?"
Pablo pointed to the food that sat on the counter.
"I saw you turn into that thing. I followed you. I know what you are."
His wife hung her head. She couldn't look at him now. Pablo leaned forward, gathering his strength.
"You must stop this. They'll kill you. They'll kill me."
Teodora lifted her head.
"The church already tried. Didn't you ever wonder what became of the old priest?"
A chill ran down Pablo's back as Teodora stepped toward him, her dark eyes cutting into him. She was passionate, angry.
"Someone had to stand up for this family. You have made it clear that wasn't going to be you. Begging at the church for scraps after they ruined us. They would rather we starve, but you would forgive them for slaughtering my people if it meant your neighbors would wave to you again."
Pablo leaned back in his seat. He had never seen Teodora like this, full of rage. She knelt down in front of him, eye to eye with her husband.
"Do you know what I had to do to gain this power? I had to kill my own sister. I will not have her die in vain."
Pablo shook at the revelation. Tears welled in his eyes as he grabbed Teodora by the shoulders and squeezed her tight.
"I can fix this, but you have to stop. I gave up everything for you. You can't do this to us."
Teodora slid out of his grasp and stood up. She shook her head.
"You think you are still a Spaniard, but to the church, you are nothing. You did this to us, not me."
She grabbed her coyote skin from the back of the chair. Before Pablo could react, she wrapped it around her shoulders. Pablo gripped the table in fear, watching his wife transform into the coyote. It was even more terrifying in broad daylight. He could see every detail as she morphed from his beautiful wife into a rabid animal. Pablo fumbled, trying to grab the holy water, but it was too late. His wife shoved him backward, knocking the chair to the ground. His head cracked against the floor. The light faded from Pablo's eyes as he passed out. When Pablo came to, it was completely dark. His head pounded. The food sat out untouched, and the front door was wide open. But there was no sign of Teodora. "She must have ran," Pablo thought as he pushed off the ground. He rubbed his forehead as he regained his balance. Pablo checked his pack. The holy water and the rope were still there. Pablo pulled them out and walked into his bedroom. Father Carlo was right. This was the only way. He was going to wait for her to return. Pablo pushed open the closet door and stepped inside. He stood in the dark for hours. Pablo began to worry that she had left forever. He had lost his one chance to reason with his wife and free her from her demonic possession. But as dawn began to break, he heard her claws clack against the floorboards. Teodora was home. Pablo listened as her heavy footsteps came through the kitchen and into the bedroom. Through the crack in the door, he could see her, 7 feet tall and covered in hair. Pablo quietly pulled the cork from the holy water. Teodora began to transform. Her nose and mouth separated. Her arms began to shrink to their normal size. The hair disappeared from her face. He didn't want to waste any time. Pablo shoved the door open and threw the holy water over his wife. Teodora screamed in shock and pain. Pablo raised the rope and, swinging as hard and as fast as he could, whipped her 3 times across her back. Teodora wailed in agony, her body convulsing even after the final strike. Something had gone terribly wrong. Pablo ran to his wife's side, but she shoved him aside. His eyes fell to her legs. They were still those of a coyote. He had started the process too soon. Teodora looked to her husband, tears running down her face, hurt and betrayed. She fell to the floor in a heap, half woman, half coyote. She wasn't transforming anymore. Pablo crawled toward his wife.
"I'm sorry. I wanted to help you."
But Teodora didn't look at him. She sprang to her feet, forever stuck between forms, and leapt out the window. Pablo watched her run into the mountains behind their home, her body a twisted mixture of human and animal parts. Not even the Maya would accept her now. She would be hunted and hated by all. He had doomed her to die, alone and afraid. Pablo dropped to his knees, filled with shame. She didn't deserve this fate. Pablo worked the rest of his days for the church, which welcomed him back in once they had heard his wife passed away. Their acceptance mattered little to Pablo. Teodora was all he ever wanted, and he had cursed her to a life stuck between two worlds. Pablo never remarried and never ate another meal as good as the ones Teodora cooked in her last days. He died alone and was buried in the church's cemetery with all the other good Catholics. The coyote Teodora tells the complicated story of a family caught between two separate and warring cultures. Beginning in the 16th century, Honduras and other parts of Central America became a battleground between Spanish colonizers and the indigenous peoples. As such, the indigenous people had a strong distaste for the Catholic Church. They saw it simply as a front for the Spanish to carry out massacres and oppression, all in the name of God. But over the centuries, as the Spanish colonized the region, the two sides became interwoven. The indigenous people who tried to hang on to their culture ended up taking iconography and dogma from the Catholic Church and intermingling it with their own faiths and traditions. It was a mishmash of two cultures, creating a completely new identity. The coyote Teodora shows these warring cultures through the struggle of one couple, a woman who is willing to sacrifice everything to remain true to herself while also providing for her family, and a man who is trying to hold on to his roots while trying to make a new life. It's a tale that ends tragically for both parties, but especially for Teodora. She is doomed to be a woman literally caught between two worlds, a living talisman of colonization. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next Wednesday with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app, tap Browse, and type Tales in the search bar. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Nick Johnson, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Isabella Way. This episode of Tales was written by Jesse Harris, with writing assistance by Greg Castro. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Remember to follow Superstitions for new episodes featuring our most unusual beliefs. Are they side effects of ancient folklore or truly the masters of our fates? Look closely and examine the writing on the wall. Superstitions airs every Wednesday, free on Spotify.